This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Dan, you guys are calling this a rib injury. Can you expand on that? I know some fans are worried that maybe the rib's broken, bruised. Can you kind of expand on that?
Sure. The best thing, Sam, I can say, for the fans, this is not something that's a long-term issue, and that's why we listed him as week-to-week. And like I said, we're hopeful he'll play this weekend, but we're not going to miss one step, you know, as it goes through it.
That was the clearest description of the status of Jaden Daniels for Sunday against the Bears. He had an opening statement, Dan Quinn did, that was a little more vague, I would say. But when he said, the best thing I can say for the fans, this is not something that's a long-term issue, that tells you it's not that serious. The week-to-week versus day-to-day thing, I know people have reacted to that. I was talking to Ben Standig about that yesterday. He said if there was really a chance that he was going to play on Sunday, it would be more day-to-day maybe as a description versus week-to-week. He did say we're hopeful he'll play this weekend. Denton, I'm sure you've seen this, and if you haven't, I will tell you that the line went from Washington -1.5 late Sunday to now the Bears are 3-point favorites Sunday at FedEx, at Northwest Field, excuse me. So they've gone from 1.5-point underdogs to 3-point favorites. That is not because there's a bunch of sharp people that think Chicago is going to win the game with Jaden Daniels playing. It's because they believe there's a really good chance that Jaden Daniels is not going to play Sunday. Just one indication. I did talk to somebody who just said, look, this is going to be an as-we-go situation this week. You know, tomorrow is the first practice in preparation for the Bears game. We're going to know a lot more tomorrow. If he's practicing, hey, he's probably going to play. If he's not practicing, we probably have to wait another day and then another day. My guess right now, first of all, I would not wager on this. I have no idea what's going to happen with respect to Sunday. My guess would be, if I was forced to, you know, bet on this, I'd probably say he misses Sunday, but is back for the Giant game. That's my lean, very, very slight lean. Do you have a lean one way or the other, Denton?
I kind of think he's going to play. That my lean is that he's going to be good to go and everything's going to be all right.
I hope you're right. But that leads me to this, and this is a conversation we can have as a group here this morning. How would you proceed if you were in charge of handling whether or not Jaden Daniels plays? Would you require him to be 100% healthy, 100% comfortable? Would you require him to be comfortable enough to play? This is the franchise right now. This is not a must win. It is a game that could play out as very important when we get to the end of the season. Let's just say Washington doesn't win the division. Philly does. But Washington's right there in the wild card race. This is the kind of game against Chicago, a team that's 4-2, that could play into tiebreaker scenarios could come into play. It's an important game. It's a high-profile game. It's not like what we had in January of 2013, and that was a playoff game. Okay. And by the way, the doctor and the quarterback said, it's not the knee, it's the brace. I don't want to go down that path again, but it always frustrates me when I hear Mike should have pulled him. He was going to pull him. He had Kirk ready to start the second half. And Dr. Beanie and RG3 emerged from some closet in the locker room, and he told Mike, "I'm good to go." And the doctor said, "Yeah, no, the brace was just falling off. We had to put it back into the right spot. It wasn't the knee. The knee's fine." We don't have to relitigate those days. Long time ago. How do you feel about how this should be handled? We will take calls on this coming up in this first hour of the show. On the show today, Merrill Hodge will be on the show today. Merrill Hodge will join us at 11:30. Do you remember who Merrill Hodge was not a big fan of going into this draft? Denton?
I do. I have a very good memory of that. He happens to be the guy that's going to be on the sideline this weekend. The other sideline this weekend.
But there was, he also was not a fan of Drake May, right?
Right. He was one of the very early pioneers of Jaden Daniels being the best quarterback in this year's NFL draft.
Yeah, but exactly. So we'll have Merrill Hodge on the show, 11:30. Mike Sando covers the NFL. We'll have him on at 12:40. So two guests on the show. Before we get to, you know, talking about how we feel this should be handled this week, with, by the way, let's be fair, not all of the information. We don't have the diagnosis. We don't have the prognosis. But that never stops us anyway from weighing in. I do want to talk about last night, the Tampa-Baltimore game, because there are a couple of things related to that game that I think deserve a bit of time. Number one is this. Lamar Jackson, just give him the MVP right now. He is playing at the highest level a quarterback can play at. He is clearly playing the best of his career. We saw him last week shred Washington from the pocket, primarily against a loaded box. Last night, 5 touchdown passes at Tampa Bay, if you don't know. 17 of 22 for 281. They stormed back from 10-0 down to take at one point a 34-10 lead. They scored 34 unanswered. The game got a little bit more competitive towards the end. There's another conversation about that upcoming. But Lamar Jackson is the best quarterback right now, the way he's playing in the NFL, and it's not actually close. Like, he is so far away the front runner for the MVP. At this point, there are 10 games left. Patrick Mahomes has 6 touchdown passes and 8 interceptions on the year. By the way, he's become a heavy betting favorite now to win the MVP. Lamar has after last night. Lamar is on track to set personal bests in so many different categories: completion percentage, yards, average yards per attempt, touchdowns, interceptions, sacks taken, you know, on the low end, passer rating, QBR. Last night his QBR was over 90 in the game. He is so good right now. And he is still the dual threat that he's always been, which benefits everybody on that offense always has. I mean, with much lesser running backs, they've always gained yards. They've always been one of the top rushing teams in the league because of Lamar and what Lamar does, not only from a rushing yard standpoint, but how he elevates the rest of the rush offense attack. He now has Derrick Henry, a Hall of Famer, next to him. Derrick Henry barely had any yards entering, you know, the mid portion of the third quarter last night, and he ends up with a 169 on 15 carries. I mean, throughout the first half, they're like, why isn't Derrick Henry playing? Why is Justice Hill in there a lot more? Well, Justice Hill is more of the pass catching option for them. You know, quick aside, Justice Hill's a good back. He's a really good change of pace and a good pass-catching, run-after-catch guy for Baltimore. But back to Derrick Henry. Ripped off an 81-yard run. That's his second 80-yard-plus run on the season. He had an 87-yard run in that Sunday night win over Buffalo. He's got three games over 150 yards He had 151 against the Cowboys. He had 199 against Buffalo. He had 169 last night on 15 carries. He averaged 11.3 yards per carry. Derrick Henry did. The 81-yard run, just like we said about the 87-yard run, Denton, to see somebody, honestly, 6'2 and a half and 250 pounds run that fast is frightening. Man, if I were a Cowboy fan, I'd be like, how stupid is our owner and front office? Why isn't he wearing number 22? Actually, 22 is probably retired, right? Emmett Smith. I guess he couldn't wear 22 in Dallas. But why isn't he in our backfield? But Lamar is so good. A 158.1 passer rating. The only reason it wasn't perfect in the game is because he had a backwards throw that I think he got dinged on. It may have been something else. He has to clear the playoff hurdle. Okay, for him to start getting recognized as one of the greats of all time, because he's going to win more likely than not his third MVP this year, he's got to clear the playoff hurdle. He has to go deep. He's got to go to a Super Bowl. He's probably got to win a Super Bowl. Dan Marino, for me, is one of the greatest quarterbacks I've ever witnessed with my own eyes as a football fan, ever. I think in terms of just throwing the football, no one's ever done it better than Dan Marino. Nobody. And yet, he consistently gets dinged over and over again for only getting to one and not winning any. It is the most dependent position in sports, as Joe Theismann has told us many times before. You're only out there half the time. It doesn't matter. You know, you do, at that position, get judged to a certain degree, not like in the NBA, different NBA championship rings are the ultimate measuring stick when it comes to comparing greats against greats. It's not at that level, but it's pretty up there. So he's got to get to a Super Bowl. He's got to be able to prove that what he's doing right now this year, which is absolutely shredding people as a passer from the pocket when it needs to be that, that he can do that in the postseason. You know, there's a chance that he could win a Super Bowl without ever having to bring his team back or having to throw from the pocket, you know, over and over again in clutch situations in a postseason game, because this is the kind of team that could front run their way to a title. You know, they could play two playoff games as a one seed and be up two scores at the end of the first quarter and never sweat it on the way to a Super Bowl. But he is really special. And everybody that knows anything about the Ravens organization, he is so beloved in that organization. He is so highly respected and well-liked. Has been since the moment he came in. It didn't matter that he was a very unpolished passer. He was not what Jaden is as a rookie. He was very unpolished. Look, up until a year or two ago, he wasn't the most polished of pocket passers. He is now. And, I mean, I guess with 10 games left, somebody else could emerge. He could regress. It doesn't seem likely, though. He is definitely playing football at a level that he's never played at, and this is a level in which you're seeing as good as it gets at the position. Lamar Jackson, especially in this day and age with the way football is played and the way that position has evolved into not just being able to sit in the pocket and deliver, but to extend and then to make plays with your legs, to be a part of the running game as a quarterback. It's fun to watch him play. I don't know if you guys feel the same way about it. I kind of raved about him last week after that game. I was like, man, Washington's loading the box, saying, go ahead, beat us from the pocket. And he did. You know, not a great defense. Tampa's defense and defensive head coach, they're good at what they do. And after falling behind 10-0, and by the way, he took two big sacks on one drive, he absolutely torched them the rest of the way. Really, really, This is why, by the way, on sort of a tangential issue, I don't ever get worked up over the Ravens. They're not a rival, you know? Like, I would not wish that he won a Super Bowl. I want Lamar Jackson to win a Super Bowl. I want that piece of the equation in the evaluation of Lamar Jackson to be eliminated. I want him to go on and win a Super Bowl. I can't imagine there will be a player right now in the league that'll feel like a massive weight has been lifted off of his shoulders more than he will, and he will deserve it. I would never say that about a Cowboy quarterback or an Eagle quarterback or a Giant quarterback. Couldn't care less about the Ravens' success from a rivalry standpoint because there isn't a rivalry. He's great. Now, the other part of the game last night, this, Denton, do you have the sound that I asked you to pull?
Of Todd Bowles, I do.
Yeah. Okay, so let me set this up. So the Buccaneers were getting their you-know-what's kicked. They were down 41-18 in the fourth quarter. But they scored to make it 41-24. They recovered an onside kick, scored again, and now the score is 41-31, and they've got three timeouts left, and they're using them on defense, and they get the ball back. Now, what happened then is down 10, and we've all watched football, right? I mean, only an absolute non-competitor would ever think about pulling the starters down 10 with a minute and a half to go in the game, especially when you've run off multiple scores in multiple possessions and already recovered one onside kick. Well, Chris Godwin caught a 3rd-and-17 pass for a first down. And this is about with a minute to go. And he dislocated his ankle on the play. Actually, I think Roquan Smith, that was kind of a hip drop tackle. I would imagine he's going to get fined for that. And, you know, he had to get carted off the field. And so, you know, Todd Bowles faced some questions in the postgame press conference. And from this one reporter, and I don't know who it is in particular, who is questioning Bowles on why Godwin was in the game. Here's how that exchange went.
Coach, you're down 10. You don't have any timeouts. It's under a minute. You would need a score, an onside kick, another score. Why is Chris Godwin in the game at that point?
Well, he's a player. We're trying to win the ball game. I mean, we were still down 10. We're trying to get extra points and kick another onside kick. It just happened. But Mike going down, we didn't have that many receivers left as it was, so we play what we got.
Isn't that even more, perhaps, important to preserve Chris for the Falcons and Mike's possibly not going to play?
Well, you can say that because he got hurt. We don't second guess. We got our guys. We're playing everybody we got. It's unfortunate he got hurt. We feel bad about that, but he's a football player and he wanted to be in the game, just like Baker and everybody else wanted to be in the game.
Don't you have an obligation to protect your players from themselves?
I do protect my players all the time. That has nothing to do with why we left them in the ball game. We still had a shot to score some points and win the ball game. It happened. It happens in football.
Oh, my God. I give Todd Bowles credit for not losing his you-know-what with this questioning from somebody who clearly hasn't watched a lot of football and doesn't really have any sort of competitive gene. I mean, are you kidding me? You've just run off 13 points. You got the ball back. You're down 10. We've seen much crazier stuff happen in the NFL. You got to get in field goal range, you got to kick the field goal, and then you got to try to recover another onside kick. Are the odds in your favor? Of course not. It's a long shot. But you know what is zero shot? Is pulling your starters and handing the ball off to a running back and running the clock out, which is essentially what this guy was suggesting. Godwin was, at that point, the only healthy receiver because Mike Evans had injured his hamstring earlier. Isn't that a better reason to preserve him for the Atlanta game? No. If it was a better reason, then he should have pulled his starters much earlier in the fourth quarter. If he had done that, down 41-18, you know, early in the fourth quarter, that would have made more sense. Okay, and there's probably an argument there down 23 getting your ass kicked early in the fourth quarter, 11 minutes to go in the game. Yeah, this one is going to be awfully tough. We're going to pull, you know, the starters and rest the starters at that point. That's a different conversation than down 10, you've scored 13 straight, you've already recovered one onside kick. I mean, I understand probability, okay? One thing I don't struggle with is odds probability. It's not highly probable that you're going to win the game because you have to recover another onside kick. But here's what I do understand. There's 0% chance if you tap out. What's interesting about this is that in the playoff game last year against Detroit, Todd Bowles tapped out of a playoff game. Now, I don't think he did it intentionally. He's just not very good and hasn't been very good as sort of a clock management coach. But remember the end of that Detroit playoff game? They were down 8, 31 to 23. And Detroit starts to kneel out the game, and they kneeled too early. They kneeled with like 30 seconds left on the play clock on third down, and Bowles still had a timeout left. And he didn't call it, and the clock ran out. Well, you have to call it there. Detroit just bungled the last minute by taking knees too quickly, and you have a chance to force a punt, and you're down 8, and a touchdown and a two-point conversion would tie up the playoff game. So he's not great at this, but this particular situation, you cannot, you know, once you've gotten it to 10, then decide you're going to tap out. Now, I would have actually asked, I think, a more applicable question and not tried to lecture a head coach on competing and trying to win a game. We've seen crazier things happen than being down 10 with a minute and a half to go and coming back to tie the game or win the game. We've seen that before as football fans, clearly. The question I would have had was, once they got into field goal range on their final drive, if you were watching the game, they got to the Baltimore 43 with about 30 seconds to go, 25 seconds to go. I guess Chase McLaughlin can't kick one from 60 or 61, although I think he can. I think he's got a big leg. I know that there was some wind last night. They may have been going into the wind. I would have asked him, did you think about kicking the field goal from 60 yards with 20-something seconds left? And if not, why? That, you know, because they still had a chance to win the game. This guy clearly didn't understand that. I would not have been as patient with somebody like that as Todd Bowles was. But the big story of the night was Lamar Jackson. He is so good. So good. So is Derrick Henry. You know what, though, Denton? They're not great defensively. They are a completely different team defensively than they were last night. They got a couple of picks. Marlon Humphrey had two first-half picks and then got hurt and didn't come back into the game. And I would say both of those throws were terrible throws by Baker Mayfield. And they're just not that great defensively. So that'll play out in, you know, towards the end of the year in terms of the division they're in with Pittsburgh. God, the two Pittsburgh games are setting up to be big, like, you know, yesteryear. And, you know, against some of the better offensive teams in the postseason, you know, if they have to face, say, a Houston or obviously the Chiefs, the Bills again. I mean, they've already destroyed the Bills once, but Lamar last night, what did you think?
I thought he was spectacular. You know, I thought they started a little slow, but I think that was more just because I thought Baker actually played really well
early
in the beginning portion of the game. And then you mentioned those interceptions. I don't know what he was seeing on that one in the back of the end zone. I mean, he was just kind of hanging balls out there to dry, and Marlon Humphrey did a really good job getting under him. I was a little bummed with how bad the Ravens' defense looked at the beginning because I was like, man, why couldn't you guys have looked that bad a week ago? It would have been very nice for those of us in this city, right? Because they looked confused at some point. You know, tempo seems like the way to beat Baltimore. Because I thought in the beginning stages, Tampa Bay was doing a really good job not taking long huddles, getting to the line of scrimmage, getting the ball off. I think tempo is how you kind of dethrone the Ravens defensively. But if Lamar is going to play the way that he did last night on a consistent basis, good luck. good luck in the regular season, because he was on one. And even with the Zay Flowers injury, like, Rashad right. Bateman had a great game.
What's the Zay Flowers injury? I know him. He had that one big play and then came out.
Yeah, I don't know if we got an official diagnosis. I believe it was his ankle. It almost looked similar to the Godwin thing, the way that his ankle kind of got rolled up on. Less of a hip drop, but his ankle still kind of fell in that weird way. Although now that I look at it, I don't know if I fully understand what is and what isn't a hip drop still in the NFL. But
Do you think that the Roquan Smith play on Chris Godwin was a hip drop? I think it was close to it.
I'm watching that Zay Flowers one in slow-mo, which is not, I don't think, necessarily fair. Like, everything's going to look like a hip drop. I'm watching it now. It's like the same play, to be like, Roquan Smith tackles Chris Godwin the same way that Zay Flowers got tackled.
I'll tell you, Baltimore's got a great tight end situation. I mean, Mark Andrews is back to looking like Mark Andrews, likely is a talent. And the kid, Charlie Kolar, he can play. And then you've got, you know, two incredible backs, certainly one incredible back and a really good change of pace back. Bateman, you're right, really has come on. But Zay Flowers is a difference maker. They need him to be healthy, because I think they're going to have to outscore people. You know, this is one of those DVOA things that Aaron Schatz always talks about, that there's little variance offense year to year, but there's great variance defense year to year. The reasons for that, and I've asked him about that, he's never really clear on, but defense, you can be dominant one year and the next year be completely different. Sometimes it's personnel. Sometimes it's not a big change in personnel. But Baltimore's not a good defensive football team right now. You can move the football against them. You can score against them. They've given up, you know, take that Buffalo game, which is the anomaly this season. They've basically given up nearly 30 points or 27 points a game on average. You know, they gave up 31 last night. A lot of that came in the fourth quarter, understood. Washington moved the ball at will. The problem is they only had so many opportunities because they couldn't stop Baltimore. Cincinnati rolled up nearly 500 yards and 38 points. Dallas came back and put up points and yards. How did the Raiders beat the Ravens? If anything speaks to the first 2 weeks being a head fake, we talked about New Orleans the other day in their first 2 weeks, it would be the Raiders beating Baltimore in week two in Baltimore in a game, by the way, the Ravens really needed after losing the opener, and they were well rested for. How did they lose that game? You know how they lost that game? Gardner Minshew lit them up. Devontae Adams had a massive day. Massive day. That's a crazy result when you look back on it now, isn't it?
It's just one of those things. We're having so much fun at their expense, because remember, the week prior was that Kansas City game where Isaiah likely said, this is the worst game we're going to play all year. And then they turned right around and lost to the Raiders.
Right, exactly. Well, they've won five in a row now, and they have the Browns and the Broncos the next 2 weeks. So, you know, it's a good chance to get to 7-2 before they play the Bengals and Steelers back to back. The Bengals, they've already beaten once on the road, and their two games against Pittsburgh. If Pittsburgh's defense continues to play the way it's played, if Russ is a slight step up, and he appeared to be that way, certainly after the first half on Sunday night, although I'll believe it when I see it over the course of time, we're going to get two massive Baltimore games. You know, the one game is scheduled for that Saturday before the Christmas Day doubleheader, which Baltimore and Pittsburgh are both in, but not against each other. They play each other on that Saturday. Their first meeting is November 17th at Pittsburgh, scheduled as a 1 o'clock game right now. I don't know. I don't know if we've ever been able to say this quickly in a season, this dude is the MVP and it's not even close, but it certainly would appear that, you know, he is the MVP. Will they beat the Chiefs in the postseason? I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't, at this point, I don't think you could get me to ever legitimately wager real hard-earned cash against the Chiefs. But love the way he is playing, that's for sure. All right, let's get back to the conversation about Jaden Daniels. How should they handle it this week? Do you only play him if he is 100% healthy, 100% comfortable? Or are you one of those that would say, hey, big game, high-profile game, need it maybe in the wild card tie-breaking stuff at the end of the year, could be valuable to get this game. If he's close to 100%, I'm playing him. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com, or free and live on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I went back and watched the game, the All-22 version, specific to Marcus Mariota, and I've got some thoughts upon further review of that game for you coming up next hour. Also, something that I did not include on my list, Denton, of things that I didn't like in my game recap, I found something that I didn't like that I will add to. But right now, we're talking about how would you handle Jaden Daniels? He is the franchise for all intents and purposes. He's played six games in a drive. He had a rib injury. I'm not going to sit here and act like I am an expert at all on rib injuries, whether it's the rib, whether it's the cartilage, whether, you know, there's pain threshold, whether or not it's more rotational or torque, which is kind of the way Quinn discussed it. But let's just assume in the moment right now, he's not 100%. So how would you handle this week if you were the team? Would you, you know, play him if he's not 100%? Again, let me emphasize, this game is not must win, but it could play into a playoff tie-breaking scenario at the end of the year. It could. Chicago and all of those teams in the NFC North are going to be in the playoff hunt. Chicago, to me, is the least likely to still be there at the end. But what if they are? And what if it came down to Philadelphia won the division, you know, at 11-6, and Washington sitting there in a tiebreaker with Chicago at 9-8 or 10-7? Sunday's game would be the determining factor for that 7 seed, if that's what it came down to. It's kind of a high-profile game. That would not factor into anything for me. The fact that they flex the game into a bigger window, not a national television window, because there are other 425 games Sunday on CBS, but it will be a game that will go to the majority of that CBS audience, and that's why they put it there, Caleb versus Jaden, two teams that are right now combined, what are they, 9-4? The Bears are 4-2, Washington's 5-2. None of that would mean anything to me, the high-profile nature of the game. Who cares? I mean, this is game 8 in a 17-game season. You got 9 more when this one ends. My personal view is this. He's got to be 100% healthy. I don't even know what that means, but it means zero risk. And I'm not talking about, like, there's no risk really with this injury, even if he were to play at 90%, because it's not, you know, it's not a knee, it's not a shoulder. It's, you know, if he got hit on the ribs again, it would be maybe, you know, a couple of more weeks, but it's not going to be career threatening or whatever. I'm talking about, you know, I don't care about that. I want him to be 100% healthy, or I don't want him out there. I don't want the risk of him even injuring the rib again and being lost for another game or two. I don't want him out there if he's not able to play like himself. I don't want a different game plan because we're going to protect him. We're not going to run. We're going to run zone read, but we're not going to have him pull it. We're not going to drop him back as much. We're going to include more quick game. We're going to really try to run the football. We're going to double Montez Sweat so he doesn't sniff our quarterback, whatever the case may be. It's game eight. It's not even about rookie year versus four-year vet or five-year vet. It's about this game not being must win, although it's an important game. It could play out that way. I want my guy to be 100% healthy and 100% comfortable. They should be able to figure that out, I would think, by watching him practice. They have tomorrow, they have Thursday, they have Friday. Really tomorrow and Thursday primarily. We'll know a lot more tomorrow afternoon. Did he practice or didn't he practice? You know, where is he on the injury report? Did not practice, limited, full go. We'll know a lot more. But right now we don't know what the answers are to it. So the question is, how would you handle this? If this were a playoff game, if this were a game in which they had to win to get into the playoffs, you know, in late December, early January, I would think differently about it. I would not be worried about, you know, oh my God, I mean, I have to protect this franchise player. You know, we've got to protect him from himself. You know, the RG3 conversation. And again, I don't want to get into relitigating that. There was a lot more to it than just coach, you know, malpractice. That's not what it was. You know, if there's a game you got to win to get into the postseason and he's at 90%, there's a little bit of pain. There's a little bit of, you know, we got to, you know, load him up with a different kind of, you know, protective gear. David Aldridge asked about flak jackets. I guess the answer to that was the gear that they now use to protect the ribs just in a normal setting without injured ribs is apparently good enough. This was more of a torque or a rotational, not a direct impact, you know, but by the way he went down. But it's not a playoff game, and it's not a game that they have to win to get into the postseason. And by the way, let me just add this. I think that while your chances are less that you can win this game without Jaden Daniels and with Marcus Mariota starting, there is still a chance that they can win this game with Marcus Mariota starting if they support him and they got a run game and they play a little bit better defensively and he plays like he did on Sunday. It's a different opponent. Chicago much better defensively and otherwise than Carolina. But I think that you're not throwing in the towel with Marcus Mariota at all. 301-230-0980. This situation this week, my guy's got to be 100% comfortable, no twinge, no rotational, just a little bit, but I'm good. None of that. All right, doctors have to, you know, feel good about it. If he's not that, I'm sitting him Sunday against Chicago. I would feel differently if this were a game at the end of the year that they had to have or a playoff game, but this particular setup, I'm sitting him. How would you handle it, Denton?
I would also want him to be 100% and healthy. I would ask the doctors a question, like, because 100% obviously varies at this point in the season in the NFL. Guys are beat up. You're getting a lot of hits. I'd ask the doctors, though, can he injure it more? If the answer is no, he cannot injure it more this weekend outside of taking, like, a brutal hit, but he can't injure it more just in going through the playing of the quarterback position and the offense that they're going to run, I would put him out there. But if there is a potential that he could greatly injure it more by taking just a casual hit, then I would not put him out there.
You know, that's an interesting approach because I and I know this just from being a weekend hack, you know, hoops player. I've had lots of back issues. When you have back discomfort, even if you can participate in whatever you're doing, you then make other areas of your body vulnerable because you're moving differently to protect that. So if he's protecting that particular area and movement is different, is he putting another part of his body at risk? I would want to know that. And those are the things that doctors know, but I think, you know, anybody that's ever been injured, it's like, yeah, it's my back, but because it's my back or it's my knee, I'm walking differently or I'm running differently, and that's putting another part of my body actually at risk. So I would want that cleared too. I want him 100%. I want him to be able to play Sunday like Jaden Daniels and not be worried about, yeah, there's just a small, you know, twinge there when I move in a certain way and I don't want to get hit there. No, I'm sitting him at that point. All right, phone lines are lit, 301-230-0980. How would you handle this week with Jaden Daniels? Describe it any way you want. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the team980.com.
Monday Night Football last night, Ravens beat the Buccaneers 41-31. Lamar Jackson went 17-22 for 281 yards and 5 touchdowns. The Bucs lost Mike Evans. He re-aggravated a hamstring injury early in the game. And then Chris Godwin dislocated his ankle late in the game. Not a good spot to be in with your two wide receivers going down. In the second game that everybody forgot about, the Cardinals beat the Chargers 17-15. Elsewhere in the NFL, the Lions wide receiver Jameson Williams being suspended for 2 games due to violating the performance-enhancing substances policy. And Brandon Ayuk, it is officially tore his ACL this weekend. Other 49ers wide receiver Deebo Samuels being hospitalized currently with pneumonia. And that's what's trending.
Merrill Hodge is going to be with us on the show. Looking forward to that. He'll join us at 11:30. Mike Sando will be with us at 12:40. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. How would you, if you were in charge, handle the Jaden Daniels rib injury this week? What would you need from him to play him Sunday against the Bears? One of my favorite local coaches in the area just texted me, if he can throw, he can go. It's about throwing. I think it's more than just about throwing. I think he's got to be moving as well. Because that's pretty much, as I think Dan Quinn would say, that's his superpower. All right, let's start with Bones. Bones, go ahead. How would you handle the rib injury this week if it were your call?
Hey, good morning, Kevin. Shout out to Denton Day. If he has discomfort as far as with all his natural movements for how he been with performance before he got this little injury, nah, he's not 100%. I'm not going to play him. I would, you know, go ahead on and let him rest out this game and wait and see how he feels the next game, because I want him to have all his faculties. I don't want him to have no discomfort. I don't want him to even be thinking about that little area or reach his arm over there to grab it or none of that stuff. I need him 100%. So, no, let him sit. Thanks for taking my call. Love you guys, man.
Peace. You got it. Thanks, Bones. Appreciate it as always. Let's go to Sean in Olney. Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Kevin. First time caller, long time listener to the show.
Thank you, Sean.
Yep. With Jaden, I would say the most important thing for me is to see if he can throw the football effectively without being in pain. Because if he can't be effective out there, we don't really need him to play. And potentially make anything worse. And I would say the way that Dan Quinn has our team actually playing as a team this year, they might be able to still pick up a win even if he can't go.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would discount their chances, but not like massively discount their chances, not after what I saw on Sunday, albeit a completely different team that they were facing with Marcus Mariota. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a position that we as fans and even teams treat differently. First of all, it's played differently with less contact than every other position on the field on a play-by-play basis. But there's no doubt that if this is, let's just say, Benjamin St. Juice, and he's got, you know, something going on and there's a little bit of pain, you know, there's a difference between, as they say, pain and injury. If it's pain, you play. If it's injury, you don't play. But with this particular player, this particular week, everything sort of in context. And by the way, you need him at a... Actually, what do you really need him at for them to be effective offensively? Maybe at 90%, he's been that good. But you want him at 100%. And you want to be with this particular player right now a little bit more protective. Look, it's the reason. Now, I would have said this about any quarterback, starting quarterback. But it was the reason in week one against Tampa, I just did not understand why Cliff Kingsbury was calling, you know, read option plays at the goal line down 23 with 2 minutes to go in the game. You know, this is not last night, Tampa down 10 with the ball and a minute 30 left. You actually had a chance to win the game last night. But getting your ass kicked down 23 with 2 minutes to go and they're still running the quarterback, I thought was kind of silly and not a risk worth taking. Sunday, I didn't like the fact that your backup quarterback, who you may have to play on Sunday against the Bears, is still dropping back up 37-0 and running read option style plays up 40-7. This position always, you know, it's much more kid glove approach. Let's go to Chris. Chris, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, Kev, thanks for taking the call. All right, sure. So a couple things, and then I have a question for you, is that when this initially happened, I started doing some of the math on this. I was watching the game with a athletic trainer friend of mine. He goes, hey, he has a rib. I said, what are the scenarios here? Bruised, cracked, you know, fully broken, and started looking at this schedule, and I'm thinking to myself, there's no way, no shot, given the way he's holding himself, given the way, remember he kind of scrambled left and went limp, like really kind of felt weird. He's in pain. Okay, let's not joke about that. The team is
downplaying
it. He was
certainly uncomfortable after that play in the game on Sunday, no doubt.
Yeah, the team is downplaying this because they want to have some sort of a competitive advantage. Sure. I think against the Bears. But if I'm Dan Quinn and I have the final say on whether this kid's playing, we are 5-2. We have games upcoming in 3 weeks against the Steelers, Eagles, Cowboys. We need him for those games. And if they're on the fence with this, just you have to sit him. I'm sorry. And maybe you don't say that until Friday or whenever they do the injury report, but he's not playing against Chicago if I have a say on this. And he might not even play against the Giants, as far as I'm concerned. You need him. If he has any risk of being further injured, Kevin, we don't have a playoff. You realize that, right? Mariota can win a couple games.
That scenario is an easy answer. If you're putting him out there and there is a risk of further or more serious injury, well, that's stupid. I think we all would agree on that one. The issue is, well, if he's pretty close to 100% and the risk isn't that great, then it's a bit more debatable. But I think I'm with you. The way you described it, like if there's a decision and it's kind of, yeah, we probably can and it probably won't, you know, it'll probably be fine. If there are any probably involves, or as you said, any fence kind of sitting on this, just sit him in this particular game.
Yeah, the other thing you have to consider is that this kid is ultra competitive. And whatever a doctor is going to say to him, and I'm this way, and I'm sure you're this way, and probably 90% of the callers are this way if we all played sports competitively at some point. You want to play, right? He's not thinking of it in terms of like, hey, man, we're going to need your cachet in January, hopefully. So the coach has a responsibility to pull him back. That's what a coach should do. It's not, hey, man, you feel good? Yeah, I feel good. Go play. Yeah. They got to pull him back. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And
which is why you've got to see him look like him. If he says, I'm totally fine, if the doc says, you know, I got to go based on what he's telling me, and he's got no pain, he's got no twinge, he's got none of this, and, you know, and then you got to see him play, and you got to see him practice. And that's got to give you some comfort right. level there. And if it doesn't, if there's any question in this scenario, I'm with you. I would not be there with you if this were a game they had to have late in the season. And he was
100%.
And the risk was, you know, minimal versus zero. I'd probably play him if the risk were minimal in a game that they had to
and
have.
And then one more comment on Mariota running the throwing the ball and dropping back and doing read option late in the game. That was Kingsbury. This was like a, you know, excluding Jaden Daniels from the scenario, from the whole discussion. That was him almost acting like this is a preseason game, and he's getting reps because we might need Marcus to play a number of games. They didn't know at that point. So they were trying to get him reps on the field. That's why they didn't just have him hand the ball off. So
yeah, I think at that point he had already had a ton of reps, and the drop back stuff or the quick game stuff, no worries with that, but pulling it on zone read keepers and taking, you know, a couple of big hits when you're up by 40 or up by 37 when you may need him the next week, I don't know. I would just agree to disagree on that one, but thanks for the call. Everybody on hold, stay there. We'll do another segment of calls. How would you handle the Jaden situation? This is, you know, a conversation that I think is going to get much more clarity about 27 hours from now. You know, if he's out there practicing, it's over. He's playing. If he's not out there practicing, then we will get an explanation as to why, and then we'll have further information. The information we have right now is it's a rib injury, and the coach said not long term, week to week, still hoping he'll play against Chicago. And our last caller who suggested that there's a competitive advantage, there is a competitive advantage. It's not a significant competitive advantage, and the reason for that is the game plan offensively for Washington isn't going to change. It didn't last week, and it won't this week with Marcus Mariota. I mean, I guess the one thing you might say is if they feel like drop back is the best way to attack Chicago, that's not what he does well. You know, Jaden does it well. The big difference between the two players is one quarterback throws the ball much better than the other one. That's the big difference. There are other subtle differences, but I don't think the game plan changes. So Chicago's not like, you know, planning for Joe Flacco versus Anthony Richardson. You know, it's not that scenario. Stay on hold, Bobby, Aaron, Tom, Billy, Lou. We'll get to your calls next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, and the Team980.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.